everybody, welcome back to Witches DNA 101. And I have some changes that I am going to talk about. I'm also going to talk more, get more into the metaphysical side of witchcraft. And, you know, it involves everybody from the generational or hereditary witch to a Wicca to even not so much Christianity, because they tend to shy away or rebuke metaphysical stuff, but they do have experiences also, even though they rebuke it or deny it or feel that it might be something ominous or evil. And some do accept it, but for the most part, that is the teaching of in the Christian faith. So I won't be adding that so much here, because I'm just adding what, like, witchcraft and Wicca, since we're so involved in metaphysics anyway. So the change that I was talking about is I have a website. Well, I have not a website yet. I'm working on that. But I do have a Facebook page that has been up for a while, Mystical Flow. And I'm going to put out a notice on my Facebook page that's going to ask you guys if you have any questions, anything you want, any topics you want me to touch on. And then I will pick from among those topics and I will talk, and those will be what I discuss. So now, for delving into the metaphysical side, I know that it is customary in witchcraft for us to let me log back into my phone, for us to you know, set up like a circle, or, you know, altar, or, you know, candles and all the other things. So we have witches that are express themselves in many different ways. You know, not all witches use candles. Not all witches even have an altar. Not all witches cast a circle, which is Wiccan mainly. Deep in Wicca, even though it's originally traditional witchcraft. We just have our own different way, unless we're in like a coven and there is what is it called? Set of rules or mores, or, you know, requirements or standards that you have to go by as being a member of that coven. So you would follow that. You can even do this as a coven or individually, as a solitary, all kinds of ways. Okay, so I don't want to call it a misconception. Okay, I'm just going to say this. There has been a uncertainty about whether or not a witch has psychic gifts. You know, it's like, if you have psychic gifts, you're a witch. The answer to that is no. Okay, having psychic gifts, the gifts of clairvoyance, intuitive tarot reading, psychic mediumship. I forget the other ones, like when you can just touch something and you gather information from that. There is a term for that. But that is separate from being a witch. Sometimes people who have NDEs, which stands for near-death experiences, come back and they notice that they have these abilities, this awareness that they didn't have before their incident. That doesn't make them a witch. Okay. A witch, you are a witch from birth. It's in your bloodline. Okay. And you all know how I feel about Wicca. Wicca is like the keepers of the tradition. And so they have a very witchy nature themselves, even though it may or may not be in their bloodline. It has erroneously been touted online that Wicca is witchcraft. And so there has been inadvertently witches who have it in their bloodline but have felt acceptance in Wicca. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is a great thing, because Wiccans actually keep us safe. They keep us safe and they keep us relevant. So I'm very appreciative for them. So we've got that out of the way. So there is different types of gifts out there, and there's precautions that one should take in expressing your gifts. Now, most often, people who have psychic gifts have it without any fanfare, without any preparation. It just is. That's how it normally is. You don't have to light candles every time you want to do a reading or any of that mess. It's ingrained in you. It's already there. And so, to be gifted is not better or worse than being a witch. They're both pretty great, but it's an awareness, and you can use that in your form of witchcraft. And we only deal with light, you know, the good here. We only do good with witchcraft here. We don't allow anything black. You know, might delve a little bit into the gray, touch into it just a tad bit, but no black magic here. It's ever, ever, ever welcome here. There are other experiences that people have that are not really directed around having a psychic gift, but it's definitely in the paranormal. Not so much. It could be, sometimes it can be metaphysical, like psychic gifts, and sometimes it's paranormal, like seeing spirits and stuff like that. Feeling phantom touches, phantom air, phantom breath, stuff like that. So we're going to be talking about that, and along with that, before or after, I talk to you guys about the different things, because this is a huge subject. And you guys, I've talked to you guys about your magical correspondences, and how to use that. And I've given you guys a couple spells to use, like about three spells maybe to use that are general enough to where you can incorporate. And please write down your experiences, the herbs, and stuff that you use, the candles, colors, and everything that you use. Because if you decide that that is something that you want to get into, because it will be something that comes back to you, and you will notice, you'll be able to connect the dots and see how one element connects to the other, and that will further advance your craft. Okay, so a little more about me and the paranormal and metaphysics. They're not as necessarily the same thing. I started experiencing mine when I was a baby in a baby carrier. And it was just so amazing because, and I remember this, and it was like an angel. Somebody was next to me and pointing out everybody, because my family have, like, you know, get-togethers. My uncles and aunts and cousins would come over and everything, and all the adults would be, you know, together. They were all, you know, like brothers, sisters, and, you know, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and cousins and stuff. And so I was in my baby carrier, and somebody, a male, wonderful spirit, my spirit guide, one of them, pointed out everybody, who they were, and it was just a nice, happy time, and I remember that. And what I also remember is that as I grew, even through my teenage years, that same spirit guide was always with me. My first gift, that would be my first gift at 6 months old. Then when, you know, I guess you could say that was my ability to communicate with the spirit world, with the other realm, with the metaphysical, the paranormal. And then after that, I would say, I mean, I was really young. I'd have to have been around, but it was before the age of 10, well before the age of 10, that I sensed that I have this air of protection around. And it was in my, it was like just so matter of fact, like a conversation, just so matter of fact. And sometimes it would be like a pointing out. It would be like something ordinary. I would see something ordinary, but something about that ordinary thing would, like, pop out and come towards me, like, in 3D, like, something I'm supposed to pay attention to. But this is how my guides would point out to me somebody who was going to die. And, yeah, it was scary. It was really scary. I had eventually, in my early teenage years, cried and cried and prayed and prayed the gift away. And you know that, I'm going to tell you that you can never, ever pray your gift away. You can never wish your gift away. You can make it to the point where it's dormant. You know, you don't, it's going to always be there. You're going to always feel it there. It's going to tag along with you. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, like being a witch, it's going to always be there. It's going to be like a coat that you wear that you never take off. and or a pair of glasses or something that is an accessory to you that you are never without. And so when they will point out who was the next person that was going to die, it will just be so matter of fact, oh, that person's going to die. And surely enough, and these would be loved ones of mine, and it was just heart-wrenching. And so I denied that gift for a long time. Now, during all this time, my mom is teaching me about numerology and spiritual warfare, and she's talking to me about, because she's clairvoyant, about her visions that she sees. She's also a dream interpreter, so I would be sitting next to her and listening to her interpret people's dreams with extreme accuracy, and just learning, just absorbing like a sponge. And my granny, she had her bells, and she had her crystal ball. It was just, you know, very an enchanted upbringing that I had. And so I guess my late teens, early, well, maybe my mid-20s. Yeah, about my mid-20s is when, because I left the dorm for a long time. And then about my mid-20s, I finally put on my big girl drawers and you're like, you know what? This gift isn't going anywhere, because I still feel it. I still sense it. I still see it. I still know it's there. So let me see. You know I have protection. I know, you know, divine universe, Father Sky, Mother Earth. I know God is protecting me. I know my guides are with me. I know there are angels and archangels. And I know that there is, that I'm being protected, because I've seen this, I've experienced this in my life. I'm not going to go down that road, because then that's going to segue us into something totally different. So we're going to save that for something else, all on its own. So when I picked my gift back up, I was apprehensive at first, very apprehensive. But then, you know, it's like, you know, I'll be okay. And it didn't come back like it did, like I had it when I was little. The way it came back, instead of my guide saying, oh, that person's going to die, that person's going to die, it came with a beautiful gift of psychic mediumship. Now, there's two different types of mediumship. There's just being a medium, and there's psychic mediumship. And let me tell you how it differs for me. A medium can detect and sense things from the spirit world. A psychic medium, like me, they interact with me. I can pick up someone from the other realm just through somebody asked me about, if they text me and they say, oh, can you help me? And then I can just pick them up from their energy. I can, if somebody sends me a photo, they interact with me through a photo. It's like, this way I explain to a lot of people so they can understand. It's like the movie Harry Potter, when Harry is reading the newspaper and the images in the newspaper are moving in there or moving around. That's what I see. And so, don't compare your gift to my gift. as if your gift is supposed to be along the lines of mine. Your gift is extremely personal to you, and your guides have already helped, your gifts are yours, and so they're not supposed to be like anybody else's. Okay, so this is what I do. And when I was about 15, my mom gave me my first tarot reading, which was with a deck of playing cards. And that's called cartomancy. And she was extremely accurate with that. And let me tell you, extremely accurate. And I started getting into that as well. And I noticed that. I noticed that I have the same gift of clairvoyancy that my mom has. And she has all of her clairs. I have all of my clairs. And I experienced that when I did my first serious tarot reading. And it was just absolutely beautiful and amazing. I started out with the 10-card spread. And the normal, what you learn, typically when you start reading tarot. And I never read the tarot books. I never read them. And I'm the type of person who just does not agree with that, it has to be gifted to you. I don't believe that, because then you got somebody else's energy on it. If they feel good about the tarot book, like, oh, this would be great for her. No, that'll be great for that person, not me. I have to go, and it has to connect with my energy. And so, I've always got my own. And, so I started out reading, interpreting the cards, and, it was just a very quick, very basic, okay, this is where we're at. And the next thing I knew, I was, my whole awareness of where I was not even there. It's all I saw was, it was like I was transported into another life, into another existence. And I'm still talking to her, and she's not there. I was reading for my friend's cousin, and my friend was sitting in the chair, but I was talking to her cousin on the phone. So it was a phone reading. And it was like I was just totally, completely transported. And I told her everything I even got. And you're not going to get this in tarot, especially Rider Waite, because the characters are normally geared towards the Caucasian race. So you're not going to get any markers for like a Hispanic person or a Black person or a Polynesian person or anything like that. So I was seeing like birthmarks and stuff like that, and a whole scene laid out in front of me. And it was like how I would see a scene lay out before me in my granny's crystal ball. It was a lot like that. So it was pretty amazing. And then my friend's cousin, my friend called me like maybe 3 weeks later. And she said, my cousin wants to tell you something. And so she put her on the phone, and she was like, everything you said came true, even down to the mole on his face. And he said exactly what you said he was going to say. Now, you're not going to get all of that from a tarot reading. And I'm going to go into a psychic tarot reading and just a regular tarot reading, because there are tarot readers that weave stories, and then there's a psychic tarot reading. They're totally different. Okay, so back to mediumship. My awareness, and I segue to that to let you guys know that I this is when I was starting to really embrace my gifts again, and I was becoming aware of my heightened awareness and how much I had grown since I was little. So even though, you know, I was thinking my gifts were dormant, they really weren't. I was actually growing during this period. And so, I always see spirits, but it's a normal thing for me to see spirits. Sometimes they still shock me sometimes, but my aunt, she was a medium, and she would talk to a spirit in her house. I'll just have a conversation with her, and she always tried to get me to do it, but I would not. I was scared. This is when I was little. And so, even in my mid-20s, when I started being aware of, when I was aware of how enlightened I was, especially compared to when I was little, you become a sponge. You want to know more. You feel that you need more. And so I started delving into, I already knew I was a witch, and you guys know the story. But I wanted more of an involvement because I was mixing up metaphysics and paranormal. And so they really don't fit together like a jigsaw puzzle fits together. They really don't. And so that's where that gap that was there is where I was kind of like in limbo. Because I was like, okay. So I had gotten into the fairy tradition with the fae, and I would not advise anybody to mess with them unless you are highly skilled. I was trained by a shaman, and even then, and that was one of her particular warnings that she always taught me is spiritual safety. And remember, my mom always taught me about spiritual warfare. And so you will find that your life has things connecting the dots in your life. So it's a beautiful thing. It affects me in that way because it's so beautiful. But it's like I kind of expected it, that when my mom began with spiritual warfare with me, that I would run upon somebody like the shaman who taught me about the fairy tradition, the fae. And she would teach me, her teachings would be heavily based on spiritual warfare. And so, and it's how you grow up. It's how you grow up in the path, in your faith, and because things will connect. You'll start off somewhere, and then as you grow, then things will, you'll start connecting dots to your growth, to your next phase, your next level of growth. And you can say, okay, that's why that's why my mom taught me spiritual warfare, because I needed to learn that. But now I'm at another level, so I need to learn spiritual warfare for the level that I'm at now. So my mom taught me when I was little, but now that I've done grown up a bit, now it's my shaman's role to teach me. And so I'm not a stranger to phenomenons happening. And I could just be out on a normal day and just see a spirit pass by me. So, and yes, that has happened a lot. And everywhere I go, there is something. This is the first place I've ever lived where it was not, like, seriously haunted, for real. But I do believe that is because I'm at another level of awareness. There, you know, it's like there is no destination, I should say, in your growth. You just grow and you grow and you grow. You cannot grow too much. You cannot evolve. You cannot elevate too high. Okay? It's just impossible. There is more information than what you think. If you think you know it all, if you think you learned everything that there is to learn, then think again. Let me see. It was about maybe, and I have been working with clients off and on. My first clients when I was young were my sisters. They would ask me about advice and stuff, and like I was the little oracle, and I was I was their little sister. And I could count them. If I counted them, I've been doing this for a really long time. But I'm going to go to possibly when I started being more aware, coming back into my awareness in my mid-20s. So that will put me at, and I'm telling my age, but that will put me at about 20 years that I have been using my gifts to help people. And so in my psychic mediumship, here's the thing. Definitely going into that tarot reading for my friend's cousin. It was just so weird. I would give, and this is going to be so cray, because that was back when this television psychic, who turned out to be fake as hell, her name was, you guys will probably know who I'm getting ready to say, because she turned out to be like a household, you know, not that I'm not calling her a joke, but her name, you know, just what she did and the mystery around her turned out, it turned into a household joke, and her name was Miss Cleo. And she'd be like, oh, she's psychic, and she'd have this fake Jamaican accent, whatever. And so it was around that time. And so I will always give people disclaimers that is for entertainment purposes only, just in case I was wrong. I always like, because the reason why I did that is because when I would do readings, and even in that tarot reading that I told you guys about, it always feels like I'm making it up. It always feels like a joke. Like, oh, I can't believe people are believing this. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm just talking whatever's coming to my head, and it's so ridiculous. I'm like, this is absolutely crazy. What am I saying? What the hell? And when I'm done, it's always like, you were absolutely 100% right. And I'm like, no way. it still is kind of that way. I still get the feeling, every now and then I'll get the feeling that this is fabricated, that I'm making this up, and that I should stop now because it's not right to do this to these people. And I just keep talking and telling them, or I keep typing because I do a lot of readings, psychic mediumship readings, you know, through messages, texting and stuff as well. And on, you know, on social media as well. I have a lot of different platforms. Well, a few different platforms. And I still get that feeling every now and again. And sometimes it just feels like I'm just typing and it's like coming from nowhere. I'm just like, you know, like thoughts, random thoughts. It feels like random thoughts just floating through my mind. I'm just typing, I'm just writing it down or telling them. And it turns out that with extreme accuracy. And so just because you feel, I mean, that's going to bring me into this. Just because you feel that you're not, you might feel like you're not genuine. And you might, so therefore, that might cause you to second guess yourself a lot. Then you find out you were right all along. It's okay to feel that. It is absolutely okay to feel that. Okay? So I am going to stop right there. And I'm going to put a notice, like I had said at the beginning, on Mystical Flow, Facebook page, and ask for suggested things you might want me to talk about, and I'll post my link to this podcast there as well. And I'm not sure if you guys have heard of stereo. It's pretty cool. I might start doing a podcast on there as well. Notice is going to be asking to see if you guys have any questions, any topics you want me to touch base on for the next podcast, and I'll pick among the responses. And if nobody gives me any responses, then it'll just be a regular podcast. And that should also help me with being more consistent, because I get really busy. There's like a whole lot of things I'm really good at. And you might find that if you have, especially because I have multiple psychic abilities, and so I'm not speaking for everybody. I can only speak for me and possibly people who are like me that have multiple psychic abilities, is that you find that you are good at a lot. And it's not that you're that skillful at it. It's just that you already know. It's like you easily download information for things that you don't know. You easily download the information and now you know. So that makes you capable of doing a lot. Very, very talented. It's like almost effortlessly. And so then it's a high blessing. And so and when I say high blessing, I don't mean like there are blessings that are low. A blessing, any blessing, any good blessing is a high blessing, is what I'm saying. So until next time, and we will continue. We're going to be on this for a while, and I will also be answering touching on topics you want me to discuss or answer questions that you might have. All right, and until then, thank you for tuning in. Donate if it's on your heart, and I will see you then. I will talk to you then next time. Bye.